Welcome to Brews and Boxing. We're back. It's the first of the month. And I'm back. As you can see, I'm back in the host chair or the driver's seat or shotgun or whatever Filthy Rich wanted to call it. Thank you again for taking over host duties for me last week because I had a little family issue there. But you guys did a great show. Even Matt from Lindstrom, I hate to say that, the acquaintance of the show is now going to have to become friend of the show after that episode. So you still got to watch the language in front of the ladies. But besides that, no big deal. All right. With me, as always, is Filthy Rich. Filthy Rich, how are you this evening?
Good, man. Happy opening day, baseball fans and Yankees fans, even though we took a L to the Jays. We got them. Baseball season don't start until Laker season ends. And welcome back, Raider Live.
Yeah, the Twins sure punished me, showing me how I can bet on the Twins, and then they can blow a save right away and lose in extras, because that's what happens when I bet them. As someone who is very familiar with me losing bets is also Judge Jimmy James. Judge, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, you do lose a lot of bets. Yeah, I don't know what to go from that one, man. That sucks. Let's go, Twins.
It sure does. Yeah. Oh, them Twins. Oh, they had it. They had the dang Brewers beat. All right. Let's get on to Brews and News. We got actually a big show today. It's the first of the month, as I said in the beginning there, which means we are going to be doing a Filthy Five, which this month is welterweights, big division of welterweights. Very much more exciting than the middleweights we did last month, I'll tell you that. We also got a lot of Brews and News and a couple other hidden surprises in this show as well. So we'll get to it right now if you guys are ready to hit the bell.
Go.
Ring it.
Ringing the bell. All right, first thing we do on Brews and News, I don't know if Filthy Rich did this last week, but the first thing that we do on Brews and News is to crop a brew. So, gentlemen, thank you for having me back.
Welcome back.
Cheers. I did it last week.
And he did do it last week.
Did he? Well, to quote Harrison Ford, get off my plane. Or get out of my chair. That's the best I got. I don't know. All right. Bunch of news this week. As you can see, we got four pieces of news to get to. The first one shocked nobody because no one really cares. But Oscar De La Hoya says he's returning to the ring. Here's what I thought was a little weird about it. He's going to fight on Triller and not on DAZN, which seems a little weird that he's Golden Boy and fighting on Triller and not DAZN. Plus, he hasn't said who he's going to be fighting yet. He just says it's going to be a real fight against a real boxer. And so he says it's coming up real fast, too. So I would imagine they would want to start promoting who the fighter is. So does he actually have a fighter? That would be my question. And also my question is, do you guys care? Filthy Rich, we'll start with you.
Yes, I do care. I think it's July 3rd is supposed to be the fight without an opponent. I don't know if you guys saw the video, you at home or you two here, but he's on. That was such a cornball move. It probably would have been really cool in 2010 or something, but it just doesn't look good. I wouldn't say I'm excited for it, but I'm definitely going to watch it. I know Bad Left Hook had a poll today. Are you going to watch it? And I voted, I think it was yes, no, and depends on the opponent. And I put it depends on the opponent. If you put a good opponent in front of him, this is going to be worth, you know, I don't know, $50. I guess $50, depending on the undercard. But we know Triller puts on a good show. A few opponents I'd like to see him against, like, we know Miguel Cotto. We won't be talking about it today, but Miguel Cotto just signed for an exhibition fight. I'd like to see someone like maybe Mayweather beat him up again. Just somebody to beat him up again. But here's the sleeper. Here's the one he's actually going to fight. Well, probably not. Conor McGregor. That's where the money is. De La Hoya, Conor McGregor is going to make money. I think these are two, I don't want to call them unlikable characters, but I think that's where the money fight is. So De La Hoya, McGregor, $50 on Triller, I'm in.
Highly doubt it would never be Mayweather. Triller ain't got that kind of money, I'll tell you that. And I don't see that. He said it's supposed to be a real fighter. Is that
McGregor's a real fighter.
So is Jake Paul. Would you pay for that? I mean, that would be about the time when he's ready to fight again. I mean,
I don't know if Jake Paul's a real fighter.
Well, he's got more professional fights than Conor McGregor does. Just saying.
not really. No, McGregor has a lot of professional fights, just not in boxing.
Well, like, yeah,
we're talking about boxing. But the key word you said was fighter. You didn't say boxer. And McGregor is a fighter at the end of the day. So
which phrase did De La Hoya use? Did you say fighter or boxer?
I don't think he said boxer, but maybe he did.
Maybe. Judge, what do you think? We're arguing over here, and you didn't put your hand up like Matt from Lindstrom, but I'm sure you got plenty to say.
No. Yeah, I do. So, one, shame on you, Snoop Dogg. This was supposed to be, you were touting up something on this interview about having it be Snooptastic, and Snoop don't come out for no piddly mumbo jumbo. He's only the big dog, blah, 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 and all that stuff. And then you go and deal with Golden Boy. You're talking about, I smell some spice and it's Golden Boy. Really? Rich, you're going to have to say a catchphrase on this one, because that's what made me upset. For one, right? So that's number one. That's the first thing. Two, if you want to talk about the second thing, back in the day, I don't even remember back in the day, Mayweather McGregor, right? You guys just brought up McGregor. Literally, De La Hoya was talking about boycotting that fight.
Yeah.
Because it was a circus and that our sport may never recover. And if that's the, hypocrite. If he literally does this,
wait a minute.
Ridiculous.
Hold on. Let me hit the breaking news button here. This just in, Judge Jimmy James says that Oscar De La Hoya is a hypocrite. Not much breaking news there. He's been a hypocrite forever. Go ahead. Yeah, I sit out a week. I got jokes, not funny ones, though.
Yeah.
Rich liked it.
So that's the second point. Now I kind of lost my train of thought. You son of a...
No! Let me jump in quickly. I will say, when he asked people to boycott the Mayweather-McGregor fight, it was because his fighter Canelo was going to fight Triple G, and he didn't want to lose the money to Mayweather and McGregor. My guess is, had Triple G Canelo fought prior to that August fight with the Mayweather-McGregor, he probably would have encouraged people to watch this, that it's good for boxing. But because it wasn't good for his pocket, that's where De La Hoya got angry. Because even later on, he said, like, if McGregor wants to fight someone, let him fight me.
All right, there's my third point. This is my third point. You just run right into it, all right? You are the leader of Golden Boy Promotions. You are spending time talking about a comeback fight. You need to be promoting your fighters, son. That's what you need to be doing. You just lost Canelo earlier in the year because of this. I don't think your focus is messed up, I think. All right. You might have some people under your belt, like a little Ryan Garcia, maybe got lucky with Zerto Ramirez. Who knows if that's actually going to happen, if he's actually going to pan out to be anything decent, or even if you're going to fight with him, or, you know, get a fight for him. But De La Hoya, I think, is just making mistake after mistake after mistake. And I think this is, I don't know, man. You said you're excited to see it. I would be excited to see him get knocked out, put in his place. That's what I'm excited to see. To be 100% honest with you, I don't think he's going to, I don't care who he fights. If he fights Jake Paul, I'm going to be rooting for Jake Paul. And that's stupid. That's so dumb. That is so dumb. And I hate saying that, but De La Hoya just needs to be put in his place and just stop. Just stop.
I got 2 points on that. First, my first question is, which is a worse decision by Trello? Or Treller, is it signing De La Hoya or signing Justin Bieber to be the headliner of the next one for the music part?
I think they're both good moves. If this is a real question,
and it is a real question.
If it's not a rhetorical question, they're
no
one hat by process of elimination. It's like the
you go from Snoop Dogg to the Biebs.
It's like the George Carlin skit. Out of all the doctors in the world, there has to be a bad doctor.
Or the worst doctor in the world.
Yeah. The worst doctor in the world, and someone has an appointment with them. Yeah. Justin Bieber is going to possibly bring in girls to watch this. That's going to generate a lot of money, whether you like it or not. I have no opinion on Bieber, but it's not a bad move having him there. And I think your other guy, what was it, De La Hoya, who's worse? I don't know who you asked.
I said, which decision by Treller is worse? or Triller?
Well, if, yeah, I don't know, because even the platform of Triller, it's not a boxing platform. You download the app and it's like TikTok's arrival. So, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish here besides get numbers, and they're going to do, I think they're going to do big numbers. I also want to mention, I think a fight with Tito Trinidad. I had Tito Trinidad winning the De La Hoya fight. Many have De La Hoya winning. Make that a rematch.
I already got it. Who Oscar De La Hoya should fight. And it's because Judge Jimmy James said it the best. He said, if he fights Jake Paul, I'm going to have to cheer for Jake Paul. So the actual fighter it has to be is Amir Khan. That's for you, C-Bot, because he says the worst part of the show last week is that he forgot to do an Amir Khan. But Judge,
I'm recanting my statement. I'm not rooting for Jake Paul. I can't root for Jake Paul. Screw that. I can't root for Jake Paul. I'm rooting for De La Hoya, if that's fine. That was a poor decision by the judge. Overruled.
But you're gonna cheer for Amir Khan, though.
I didn't hear anybody talk about that.
De La Hoya has to make his money back from losing Canelo. And this is just, I don't think he's bankrupt or broke, but I think he needs to make his money back. And, you know, he puts Garcia and Ramirez on the undercard with maybe a Virgil Ortiz. It's going to make for a good card. It's all Golden Boy. It'll be on Triller instead of DAZN. I'm all for it.
All right. I think we've touched on Oscar enough. I feel like that segment went as long as his comeback is going to be.
I'll drink to that.
Let's move to the next one. Demetrius Andrade is going to move up to 168 after he fights Liam Williams. Who do you want to see him fight at 168? 168 has got a lot of interesting names for Andrade to fight up there. Judge, we'll start with you on this one. Who do you want to see Andrade fight after the Liam Williams fight? If he gets by the Liam Williams fight, I think he's moving up regardless, but.
Oh, he's moving up regardless, but I don't think that Boo Boo needs to walk past Liam Williams. Like, he needs to make sure that he's focused on this because he hasn't fought in a good minute. All right. He hasn't been able to make a fight. He's been talking like he's one of the, you know, like Crawford. He just keeps getting ducked. Right. That's his whole MO right now. If he thinks that Liam Williams is going to be a walk in the park, I would disagree with that for him. Now, with that out of the way, if he does beat Liam Williams and then he does move up to 168 because there's nobody left in that docket, that's super middleweight. There's a lot of people at super middleweight, and he's not going to be able just to jump into that truck either. So if he's going to jump into 168, who would I want to see him fight? He's going to have to prove himself, probably with the likes of Daniel Jacobs or an Anthony Durrell. Would be who I'd like to see him first to see if he actually deserves to be at that weight. If he does well or decent enough, then you're going to see him fight the likes of a Benavidez or a Smith, Billy Joe Saunders, Caleb Plant. But Durrell or Jacobs would be my first choice to watch him fight.
I would like to see him fight Caleb Truex. I'd like to get Truex another payday and watch him, see if he can redeem himself from that last fight. And, it'd be a nice little step in for 168 for Andre and be a final run at it for Truex. That seems like a good one for me. Otherwise, maybe he can take the loser of Billy Joe Saunders and Canelo Alvarez. Maybe he can do that. You know. Filthy Rich, what do you think?
You know, I agree with James on this. Couple names. The one I had on my list was Danny Jacobs. Danny Jacobs was getting older. I think he still is a big money fight to an extent. But he's also on DAZN, along with, I believe, David Lemieux is with DAZN. So I think those fights are easy to make. Triple G is on DAZN. So is there more money in a Golovkin fight where he just has to stay at 160? And I think if he gets past Liam Williams and Golovkin's looking for an opponent, I think that makes sense. And let's make it loser moves to 168. Or something, winner goes to 168, something, because Triple G owns 160. If he can't get a Triple G fight, that's when I think he'll move up. We talked last week or 2 weeks ago with Jermall Charlo possibly moving up to 168. I think that fight could be made at 160, but promotions getting in the way, maybe Triller gets involved, who knows, but I think, yeah, Danny Jacobs and Lemieux, but like really the golden goose is Canelo. don't move up to 168 if you don't want to fight Canelo. That's the guy. You want to go after the best? Not only is he the best, but he's the highest dollar fighter probably on the planet right now. So I don't want to see Andre Canelo. I think Canelo wins, but moving into that division, I think Danny Jacobs makes the most sense.
Right on. James, you retort or not?
No.
Okay. Good talk.
You'll drink to that.
I think we go with me, but that's just what I think. Anyway, let's move on to the third bit of news here. Devin Haney's going to fight Linares. That's an interesting fight. Linares is no walk in the park. He put a scare into Lomachenko when he fought him. Always a tough fighter. Devin Haney, he needs a fight. It's a Four Kings fight, I guess. Linares isn't one of the Four Kings, but Haney is apparently the new Kings. Is this a good move to fight Linares, or should he be fighting somebody else? Rich, we'll start with you.
I mean, I guess this will. I mean, this is going to be his toughest opponent. So, you know, we just talked about Andre moving up division. I'm not saying Haney's moving up a division here, but at some point he has to fight someone, and I guess Linares would be the equivalent to maybe a Danny Jacobs, where Haney should be able to win. This should be an easy fight for Haney. I'm not saying Linares is washed up, but he's on the decline. I don't know how, what was it, like 8 rounds, 10 rounds Lomachenko beat him in. I expect Haney to beat him in fewer rounds, but this is not the fight we want to see. So answering the question, is this good or bad for Haney? I'm on the fence, but if I had to choose a side, I guess I would say it's good. At least he's fighting someone.
Well, I just think Linares is a really tough, tough guy. He fought Lomachenko really hard. And yeah, I mean, Lomachenko obviously won, but I thought Linares put some scares into him a few times. He put some scares into the judge when we watched that fight. Judge, what do you think about Haney versus Linares?
Put me in no scare, man. I didn't even see that knockdown. You guys are crazy. That's a slip.
That was a knockdown. Yeah, I will go to my grave saying that's a knockdown.
That's good for you. I'll put it on your gravesite. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to have to disagree with Rich. I think that this is actually going to be a much tougher fight than Haney realizes, because Linares's last loss to the random opponent in which I thought it was, maybe that wasn't even his last loss, but his last loss that I remember watching was when he fought in Argentina in some random dude where he got knocked out in the second round, but he was at 140. So he actually moved up in weight.
It was against Pablo Cesar Cano.
I don't know if that was the one that was in.
That was in New York.
I don't know.
There was one in Korea that he won.
No, this was something different, but maybe it wasn't sanctioned. I don't know. But that's the last Linares knockdown I remember. It was just a weird thing like that. However, if you want to talk, if Lomachenko was your greatest pound-for-pound fighter at one point, like I have touted many a times before, and Linares is the only person to knock him on his butt.
He said it.
In for a little surprise, because Haney definitely has some defense, but I do not think he has the same offense as like a Lomachenko. So I think Linares is going to come hard and heavy, and this is going to be a good fight for Haney, I think. Maybe not the best fight at 135, but it's still, I think it's.
Will you cook my dinner for me? My parents aren't around and I'm not allowed to turn on the stove. My cat's breath smells like cat food. Miss Hooper, I glued my head to my shoulder.
That says, Devin Haney, are you for real? Or are you just a joke? So that's my verdict.
Yeah, no, and that makes sense. Like, but he should be able to beat Linares. If you're talking fighting Lopez, we just mentioned the Four Kings. This Linares is, I don't even know if he's a top 10 in his division anymore. And if he's moved up to 140, then we're onto something new here, but he should be able to beat Linares. This should be an easy fight for him. And if it's not an easy fight for him, He there should be three kings, and he's eliminated himself. There's no excuse for not whooping up Linares if you want to consider yourself one of the best in this division and talking trash to everyone else, saying Lomachenko doesn't belong, and if they did a Super Six tournament, he's already been eliminated. I don't think Haney gets past Lomachenko. Lopez recently said Lomachenko is the second best in the division. Ryan Garcia and Haney probably make a good fight, but I think Ryan Garcia whoops up Linares. So Haney, do your part, whoop up Linares. And if you can't do that, like James said, whatever James said.
Well, I'm going to say whatever James said, because I did freeze during that time. So I'm really hoping that Zoom records off of the Zoom website and not me. But just in case it didn't, James, what's your footnotes for your what you said? Can you repeat about the thing you said about the things? You know,
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, it's the that thing happened, and this was going to happen, and this was what's happening now. So look,
the doctor said I wouldn't have so many nosebleeds if I kept my finger out of there. Me fail English? That's impossible.
The decline, just like Rich said, but I think this is still a very tough fight. That's kind of my two cents. I think Linares is going to shock Haney a little bit, because Haney does not have the same offense as the other opponents that have kind of showed Linares, like, what's up? So, good luck. You better win on defense. Going to the cards.
Where's Raider Live's face? What's going on?
Right. He just farted.
As soon as I said that again, it froze. As soon as Jim started talking, so maybe just my internet hates James. I don't know what it is, but let's hope that we got Jim's points. Otherwise, you can read his blog, I'm sure, and he'll go over what he said there. I'm hoping that it worked, but that was a Zoom.
Haney, Linares, good fight. Linares, dangerous. Haney, watch out. What's up?
See, I didn't even have to mute him. Zoom muted him, I guess. I don't know. All right, let's move on before my computer explodes here, I guess. But all right, my guy Boots, Dron Ennis, he says that he's going to take the welterweight division by storm. He says he's going to become a four-division champion at some point, but he's also going to win all the belts in the welterweight division. He says the guys on the top are getting old and they don't want anything to do with him. Without going into specific names, what does he need to do to impress and move up in 2021 in your guys' eyes? I already know that James loves Boots like I do, because he's a Crawford clone. But Filthy Rich, I want to know what your opinion is first, and that way we won't freeze right away.
Well, without naming any names, he's got to fight some names that I can't name.
I didn't write that line. I don't know who wrote that line, but I didn't write that line. Baby.
I don't know what line we're talking about, but I don't, if I'm not going to name any names. That's just it. He just needs to fight. So what does he got? Lipinets is coming up, right?
Yep.
That's the start. First beat Lipinets and beat him.
A fringe top 10 guy.
Beat him quickly. Beat him decisively. Beat him early. All those little things, and move on to someone else who's like a fringe top 10 guy, someone who may be getting old, who doesn't belong in the division, who's ready for retirement. Make your name like that. And then, I mean, you're with the right company. You're with the PBC. Everybody's on the PBC. You're not going to get a Crawford fight. No one's getting a Crawford fight. So there's one name I dropped for you, but we know that I don't think that's going to happen, but you've got a ton of options here on the PBC and Showtime and Fox. Take your pick, but first get past Lipinets and like beat them, like clearly beat them. Leave no excuses on the table and call someone out when you're done with them if you get past them.
Yeah, I'm going to do my guy a favor, and I'm going to bet on Lipinets in that fight just so he moves on and actually my guy Boots wins. Judge, what do you think about what's Boots need to do to become the next Crawford? Because he's already looking like him.
I'm not the next Crawford. We're talking about what does he need to do to impress and move up in 2021. I think he needs to fight three times at least in 2021. I know he's already got, 26 wins. So he's fought quite a bit, but he's still young. Obviously, Lipinets is going to be a good fight for him to have because it's a top fringe guy. I think he needs to fight some more guys in the top 15. If you want to check out the IBO top 15, that's what I would go off of, because there are a lot of big names that aren't on these lists. One other one that I want to just throw in there, because I don't care for him, Adrian Broner. Why don't y'all fight him? there's another guy. He thinks he's the king. Ba-ba! Go fight him. Knock him off his high horse. A couple other people as well. But yeah, if he keeps doing stuff like that, he's got to fight at least three times this year. And then he's got to fight probably three more times in 2022. And at that point, hopefully he's got some at least two or three top 15 guys under his belt. And if he's still undefeated, or even if he has one loss and one of those losses to a good guy, he's proven himself that he has what it takes to keep being a top dog at 147. Because eventually a couple of guys are going to move out of his weight class and someone's got to take the place. I mean, there's only two people that hold belts, and that's Crawford and Spence in this division. So he's going to be able to get some belts somehow.
I'm going to make a prediction, boys, that we're doing welterweights tonight. I'm going to predict when we do this show next year in 2022 that Ennis will be a top three guy on our list. I'm going to say that right now.
Holy crap.
A top three on our welterweight list.
My parents won't let me use scissors. Pedaling backwards. Was President Lincoln okay?
Go for Broner. I think that's a good call there.
And we're back.
I don't know.
I don't know what happened either.
Rich had a retort. Rich was talking about two names,
but yeah,
pop
yeah.
It one more time. Bring it back. Rewind.
So Lipinets, Ivan Redcatch, and then Broner. Now, as far as Boots Ennis goes in the top three next year, that is the only. I mean, it's a stretch. It's look, it is possible. A couple guys get out of this division. I can see a couple guys, at least one, probably retiring. I think we can all nudge each other, know who that is. But it's I guess it is possible. It is not that crazy. It sounds crazy. Gosh, it's not. But he's going to need more names than Broner, Lipinets, and Redcatch if that's how the rest of 2021 pans out.
Well, I just hope my thing recorded all of that because I wasn't here. But my guy Boots. Anyway. Let's move on because I'm just frustrated because I couldn't tell what any of you guys said about my guy Boots. I'm sure it was all pleasant, but
don't worry about it. You'll figure
maybe I'll get
it
in post. All right. Before we move on to our Filthy Five, it is April Fool's Day. And I just wanted to, Filthy Rich, you posted a little thing from, I believe
that was top rank.
Yeah. Yep. Top Rank. That said, if you could yell April Fools and reverse any one fight result in boxing history, which one would it be? We'll start with Filthy Rich since he pointed or posted it. Then we'll go Judge Jimmy James, what you retweeted it or whatever it was, to us. And then we'll go to... Oh my.
Out to me right away. It's the stuff that I've already watched and stuff that I've seen in real time, right? So the stuff that I've seen in real time for me, someone probably gonna say it, but like Triple G Canelo is one big one. I also remember Manny Pacquiao and Timothy Bradley was another big one for myself because I couldn't believe the decision. I mean probably Raider gonna touch base on this too, but Estrada Chocolatito too. Just happened 2 weeks ago, WTF, right? But I mean, the biggest one that stands out for me that'll probably stand out for a long time is going to be that Triple G Canelo, because I cannot believe that they just gave that fight to Canelo for that draw was that even second one. Bleh. So that's what I'm going to say just because I got a poor brain and I can't think that far back.
Well, I froze again. So Filthy Rich, did you answer?
No, I'll jump okay, in there. I wanted to hear James's response. So when I think of April Fools, what decision would you reverse? What comes to mind for me is, what is one of the biggest robberies that I've seen? And when I stopped watching boxing early 2000s, it was when Holyfield robbed Lennox Lewis. where Lennox Lewis whooped up Holyfield the entire fight, and they gave the fight to Evander Holyfield. So that one comes to mind. That's not the one that I really, if there's only one I could change, it wouldn't be that one. Because in the end, Lewis got his revenge, became champion. Holyfield is Holyfield. On the Twitter board, one that it didn't even dawn on me, but this is a really good one. But this is not one I would take either, though. The 1988 screw job on Roy Jones Jr. That one, that is a good one that should be reversed. I think that is a really good answer. Whoever came up with that, I should probably shout them out somehow, because that is also a very correct answer. James,
that was the one I was going to say. God, well, it was going to make me look so smart.
that one blew my mind that someone came up with that. But my answer is along the line with James, because I think Triple G Canelo loses that fight, and how much history could change from that point. It was only 2018, maybe 2017. How much history could have changed? Who knows? Maybe not much, but the whole domino effect or butterfly effect. My bad. Mayweather Castillo won. I thought Castillo won that fight. And had Castillo won that fight, Mayweather's no longer undefeated. Do fighters stop playing it safe? And do they go after guys? Are more fights being made now because no one's worried about this undefeated thing? I think all these guys in boxing today are trying to chase Mayweather's 50-0 or 51-0, whatever he is, instead of just fighting the best. And I think if Castillo gets that decision, we would probably get more big fights. So that would be my answer. Change Mayweather Castillo one. Jim, not okay. I was gonna say okay, Jim, whatever the guy's, I can't remember his name right now, but he had it scored. It was either 115, 113, or 116, 112. That's how I had it scored too. So I'd like to see that one overturned.
Well, I was gonna do the Roy Jones Jr. in Olympics, but as you were talking there, I was thinking about it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad decision, just a decision that if it changed, how it would change history. And I had two that came to my mind. The first is Marvin Hagler versus Sugar Ray Robinson. That would have been an interesting. That would have been very interesting.
Get him, James.
Leonard. What did I say? Robinson? Sorry.
Yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard. Sorry. If he beat Sugar Ray Leonard at the end there, at the end of his career, would they have fought again? You know, and would Marvin Hagler be in the talk as one of the best of all time? At that, you know, he already is, but you know.
What was your second one?
This freezing thing's really ticking me off. I was frozen that whole time there. I'm sure you're gonna rip it on me because I said the wrong Sugar Ray.
Hey man, you gotta watch out for Sub-Zero. He just comes in and just hits you.
The second one I was going to say was Mayweather and Pacquiao when they fought. If Pacquiao could have won that fight on the cards, how that would have changed Mayweather's career afterwards. If Mayweather would have stuck around, maybe fought some bigger fights, maybe had a rematch with Pacquiao, anything like that, how that would have changed the history of a lot of things. You know, would Pacquiao still be fighting today? You know, if he was the one that knocked Mayweather off, you know? So, I mean, those are the ones that I was thinking. Sorry for my computer. I don't know if this is working. Hopefully, we don't have to refilm this. We may have to.
It's working, man. Let's just keep going. Don't worry.
I'm going. Don't worry about that. I'm going right now to our Filthy Five welterweight. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Hopefully, the bell doesn't freeze. All right. Filthy Five. What we do is we do a top 10 ranking, each of us, and then we make a point system out of it. Our 10th place person gets one point, and our first place gets 10. And then we can add up all the points and come to our Filthy Five combined totals. So we did welterweights this month. Very interesting to see. So we'll do like we did last week. We'll do 5 through 3. And then before we get to the top two, we'll do the honorable mentions. And then we'll reveal our top two. All right. So our fifth one, number five with 17 points is Ugas. Ugas is number five. I had him at 8. James, you had him at 5. Richie had him at 3. So very interesting spread there. I will defend myself in a minute. But Rich, you had him up at 3. So I want to know, why is Ugas so high?
Well, I do want to mention before we get carried away here that Danny Garcia was not on our list. He's kind of declared he's moving up to 154, so we've agreed to not put him on there. Had we had Danny Garcia, I'm not even going to think about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I had Ugas at 3. I think we all, we know who the 1 and 2 are. We don't know the order. 3, 4, and 5 for me was kind of a toss-up. I had to look at bodies of work, resumes, those cute things. And I think Ugas beats the people, everyone below him. So I had Ugas at 3.
James, you had him at 5, which is dead on, apparently. Again, just like you did last time. Where do you think, why'd you have him at 5?
Look, he has a bad loss against Porter, which I thought he won that fight. I think he's better than his record says, right? If you want to don't judge a book by its cover, this is a guy you don't want to judge a book by his record, right? Like, he, even though he's got 4 losses, he's somebody that is a danger at this weight, even being 34 years old. If you want to call him the decline in his career, this guy is dangerous. But if he fights some of the guys in my top 5 ahead of him, I think it's a good fight. He probably still loses, although he's probably going to show a lot more than people think. So I just think that people sleep on Ugas, put him down a little too much, and I don't think that's fair to him. I give him a lot more credit being what I've seen of him. So that's why I have him at 5.
See, I had the opposite approach. I think you have to depend on your record a little bit, and you have to defend your record a little bit. And he does have 4 losses, and he did lose to Sean Porter, who is also on this list, I'm sure. And I think Sean Porter did win that fight personally when I watched it. But I don't think he beats a few of these guys that are on my list higher than him. That's just the way I look at it. I still like Ugas. He's still a great fighter. But at some point, you can defend 1 or 2 losses, but when you get to 4, it's hard to put him in the top 5 for me. That's just when there's much better records and better resumes on in front of him on my list. And that's my opinion. So that's what we got him at 5. All right, let's move on. What's that?
Yeah.
What was that?
Who? Yeah, I agree. Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, you guys can agree with each other all you want. Okay. That's fine. I brought him down again. What do you think of that? Good talk. All right, number 4 with 20 points. Manny Pacquiao comes in at 4. I had him at 5. James, you had him at 3. Richie, you agree with me at 5. James, why so high for the Pac-Man? I believe he's 106 years old now, and I'm frozen for again.
But he's at.
Did you guys hear who I said it was?
For me. Yes, I did. Okay, he's good. At 3 for me because he's Manny Pacquiao, man. All right. 8 division world champion. He's in my pound for pound best of all time. He's obviously old, and I get it. And there's been some little rumors about some illegal drug use from some other people back and forth, blah, blah, blah. We'll see if he's like a Lance Armstrong after he does all this great crap of all of a sudden he's just like, oh yeah, here's confirmed reports for like last 20 years. Like, well, then guess what? He's going to get knocked off a lot of lists. But I got him at 3 because I still believe that he beats all the people that I have behind him. It's Pacquiao, man. He hasn't slowed down. He shows greatness. Maybe he wakes up, he pisses excellence. If you have to do that, I'm sorry. Go right ahead. But
no, I think you can use the word piss on YouTube. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, if you want to, feel free to mute that. That's my
brain. You may have to do it twice. Filthy Rich, why do you agree with me?
So, yeah, I agree that if you have 4 losses, I mean, you are what your record says you are. Just like Pacquiao has 7, there's no reason why we would put Pacquiao ahead of Ugas. He has.
There's
7
a little
losses.
Bit of an age difference between.
I don't even
Ugas
want.
And
I don't
Pacquiao.
Even want. I don't even want to hear it. There's like 3 years or 4 years or something.
What?
But even then, Like when I watch Ugas, not to talk about Ugas here, but he hasn't lost a fight in a long time. Unless you count that Porter fight, which you do. I don't count that Porter fight. With Pacquiao, I have to look at basically what have you done for me lately. I think Ugas has taken the bigger fighters. Pacquiao was still a viable opponent. Like I said, I think 3, 4, and 5 could have been mixed up. I had Ugas at 3. I had Pacquiao at 5. I think Ugas beats Pacquiao. James has Pacquiao beating Ugas. And like, you can't really go wrong. It's just my eyeballs tell me one thing, and that's how I see it.
I didn't know that Pacquiao was that young, or that Ugas was that old. Apparently that they're 3 years apart. Is that what you said?
Doesn't matter what, 42 and 38 or something? I don't care about the age. I want to see what you do.
Ugas is 34.
Here's my problem with Ugas. He should have knocked out Abel Ramos. That's the only problem I have with him. So he probably could be at 8. I mean, I think that's a stretch because I have no idea how you can have 7 guys ahead of Ugas. But at 5, that seems perfectly normal to me. He should have knocked out Abel Ramos, but that's not going to change my opinion on him. He dominated those 12 rounds. I haven't seen him get dominated yet. I thought if you look at the 12th round of that Porter fight when they're raising hands, Porter's face is all bruised up, and Ugas looks like he's ready to go another 12. So that's why I have Ugas 3rd, and we're supposed to be talking about Pacquiao.
All right. Well, I have Pacquiao at 5 just because he's still good, but I obviously he is not 37. But you think he's 37, 3 years older than Ugas.
I don't care how old he is. You brought up age. I don't care about age.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're going to use the
you used
thing,
it. I didn't use it.
He's had twice as long a career. Manny Pacquiao is 74 years old.
You brought up 4 losses. I didn't bring up any losses. I threw that back at you.
And I'm throwing it back at you.
Thanks.
It's tennis. Tennis. Yeah. Pacquiao, I don't think he beats anyone in my top 4. That's just the way I think. And I think he struggles to probably beat a few of the guys below him as well in the next 2 years. If he has to wait longer than a year or two, if he stops doing these exhibition teases or whatever he's doing nowadays, you know, let's see him fight. We haven't seen Manny Pacquiao fight in a long time. It feels like we haven't seen him fight in a long time. Why is he not fighting? That would be my guess. He is 105 years old. Is there something else he's covering up? I mean, he's not fighting. He goes from fighting a YouTube guy to fighting a UFC guy to fighting Crawford to, well, we don't know.
Running a government in the Philippines. Like, give the guy some credit. And he's got a singing career and an acting career. Like, come on, man.
Well, then he should be lower on my list then. What do you think of that?
Was his last fight against Thurman?
What's that?
Was his last fight against Thurman in 2019?
I think it might have been against Thurman.
And I think he owned Thurman.
Oh, yeah.
If that fight was, because I think that went 12 rounds. I think it was decision. Am I wrong?
I think it went to the decision.
It was a split decision.
And it probably shouldn't have been, because I thought Pacquiao owned Thurman. Had that fight been closer, I don't know if I think you would see a significant decline, but he hasn't shown any decline yet. I think Pacquiao still belongs where he's at. Anywhere in the top 5, I don't think he's top 2, but I think we have Pacquiao right where he belongs.
Well, he fought twice in 2019. He beat Keith Thurman, and he beat Adrian Broner.
Yeah. Remember, he whooped up Broner, too. So
yeah, he beat Matisse Day before that. I don't want to go through his resume, man.
When we talk about Jeff Horn, because that was on the Boxing Elite today, and I said nobody outside the judges in Australia thought that Jeff Horn won that fight, and people were telling me I was wrong. I don't know how you watch that fight and think that Jeff Horn won by unanimous decision, but anyway.
Moving on to
our number 3. 1 point ahead of Manny Pacquiao with 21 points is Sean Porter. I had him at 4. James had him at 4. Richie had him at 4, which, funny enough, puts him at 3 because the point system, that's how it works. You know, you got 21 points out of it because, you know, because Pacquiao is 5, 5, and 3. That is, at one point behind a 4-4-4. So of course our system makes sense that we all met four, that he's number three. But that's how it is. So Sean Porter, James, you had him all the way down at four. What's wrong with you?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I just have a different difference of opinion than you guys. Guess raise him up to three. That's so messed up. Yeah, I mean, I got him at three. I think he's the guy that you got to get through at this point. He's only got three losses. I mean, Spence, Thurman, and wait, was that right? He lost to Brooke?
That was 2013. Really? That was 2013. Yeah, that was a long time ago. But yeah, he lost to Kell Brook.
That's majority shit. Decision.
So I didn't know that. That's kind of funny. But yeah,
that's what Kell Brook was good. He scared Triple G back then.
I'll say his three losses right here should have been Spence, Ugas, and Thurman, right? And those are all big names to lose in this division if that's the case. I mean, he's dangerous. He's short for the division, but he is still dangerous. You can't hit him. He's a problem. He's got some nasty offense, some weird defense. He's an anomaly, and he's fun to watch. He's fun to watch fight, man, because he is I think he's a good fighter. I think he deserves to be at number three in this, even though I got him at four, higher than you guys, I guess. But yeah, man, I mean, this is Porter is definitely the guy to beat if you want to get to the top two. Yeah, I agree with that.
Filthy Rich, why'd you have him as high as four?
So look, again, this 3, 4, and 5, you can mix it up and you can't be wrong. And that's what we did. We mixed the three up. We didn't get this wrong. I just think Porter, we saw him against Ugas. I thought Ugas won, so I had to put Porter ahead of Ugas, just like I would put Triple G ahead of Canelo, no matter what their records are. I think, I don't know how to put like the body of work and stuff like that, but the Porter of old, the Porter who used to lead with his head and was like a sloppy fighter. I think if that guy shows up, he could beat Keith Thurman. He could beat Manny Pacquiao. Cause Pacquiao he's got to, at some point, Father Time will catch up with him. And against a sloppy Porter, I think Porter can beat Pacquiao. So that's why I had Porter ahead of Pacquiao, but again, putting Porter at number three overall for this list, I'm good with that. Works for me.
I agree with everything you guys said. That's why
you froze.
No, I did not. Okay, I had him as high as four, and I had him as low as four. That's obviously why he's
there. You go.
So I agree with everything you guys said. Sean Porter is strong. He's awesome. Let's just put it that way. All right, let's get into our honorable mentions here. We only have 11 boxers this week, so me and James actually agreed on the 10 boxers, and Filthy Rich had one boxer that we didn't have ranked, and I'll mention him first because he was the one that had the least amount of points. 2 points. Filthy Rich had Maurice Hooker at 9. Me and James did not have him ranked. Coming in at 10th with 6 points was Mikey Garcia. I had him at 10. James had him at 10. Richie had him at 7. Coming in at 9th with 7 points is Jamal James. I had him at 9. James had him at 7. Richie had him at 10. After that is my guy Boots. My guy Boots with 8 points. I had him at 6. James had him at 8. And Richie did not have him ranked. That was very interesting.
I knew it.
Coming in at 7th was Virgil Ortiz Jr. with 12 points. I had him at 7. James had him at 6. Richie had him at 8. So pretty much right where he should be. This is the one that got held out of the top five because of you guys. Keith Thurman was at 6 with 15 points. I had him at 3. James had him at 9. Richie had him at 6. I had him at 3, and I am prepared to defend myself on it as well. He's got one loss against Pacquiao. That's it. He's beaten Sean Porter. He's beaten Danny Garcia.
No.
What do you mean? Yes, he has.
Not the fight I saw. The fight I saw Danny Garcia whoop up Keith Thurman.
Don't you always say it matters what comes down to the end, who wins the fight? It doesn't matter what the judges say.
It doesn't matter.
What the record is what the record is.
I didn't say that. I don't know where you heard that. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. It does sound like something I'd say.
It does sound like something you'd say. He's got a lot of good wins. I think, it was a tough fight against Pacquiao, too. I mean, there was an argument that he won that fight as well. No, no.
What argument are you talking?
What fight are you watching? You
know Keith Pacquiao. You know who Keith Thurman is?
Yes, I think Keith Thurman is. One time, baby.
I don't think you know who he is, man.
It was a split decision against Pacquiao.
I thought Porter beat Thurman. I thought Pacquiao whooped Thurman. Ugas.
It wasn't in Australia.
I wish Ugas would take a piece of Thurman. I think Thurman's on the decline. He's on a huge decline right now. I think all these guys, Ennis, I didn't even have Ennis on the list. Ennis should go after Thurman because I think Ennis could beat Thurman. Not knocking you.
Sounds like you were because this is what he did.
Yeah, don't worry about it, man. You got Thad Thurman at 9. You want to hear a beating? I ain't gonna even repeat this. I don't need to get charges brought against me. I'm a judge right now, man. Dang.
Okay, so why'd you have him at 9 then?
We don't need to go into it, man. He's at 9 because that's where he should be. You talking about he's beating people? He beat Garcia and Porter, which I do not believe that he beat either of those guys.
Yeah, all right.
So he should have 3 losses on his record. He got knocked down by Manny Pacquiao. There ain't no way he should have been knocked down by Manny Pacquiao. This guy ain't fought nobody besides those 3 names. Thurman talks a lot of game. He needs to move up. He's lucky he's on my list. I got other people that are more deserving that are higher. All right. Yeah. But yeah, he's still there because of some of his stuff. But let's see him fight somebody else again. Yeah. I mean, he ain't fought till 2019 either, man. His last time was when he fought Pacquiao. So why don't you get on that horse? Let's go.
Yeah.
Well, Linares knocked down Lomachenko. So what do you think of that?
Ain't got to get salty about it, bro.
Oh, I will. And you know what I can do? Now that I'm back in the driver's seat,
uh-oh,
I put that one there, and I put that one there. The old double mute. Yeah, baby, bringing it back. When I'm in shotgun or the driver's seat or wherever we call it, we put me on double mute and just let me talk about how great how great Keith Thurman is. He beats everybody. He beat Pacquiao. He would beat Sean Porter. I got it. It'd be a close fight. He'd beat Ugas. Let's go. All right. Let's now think. If you guys don't agree with me, speak now, forever hold your peace. Okay. Good thing that you guys agree with me. I'm glad I convinced you finally. All right. Let's move on to our top two here. Our top two, obviously, we know who the top two are. We just don't know which order they are in.
I know what order it's in. And your Thurman talk. Oh, you're making me angry. Man,
well, good.
I'm going to hold you in contempt of court.
All right. Well, at number 2 with 28 points is Errol Spence. Errol Spence. I had him at 2. James had him at 2. Richie had him at 1. Obviously, he should go at number 1 because James just said before I said it that my opinion means crap because of the Thurman thing. So, obviously, it should be flipped around. So, Filthy Rich, why don't you tell us why Spence should be number 1 instead of 2? Go ahead.
I like his body of work. This is a power rankings list for the most part. So over the past, probably say like 4 years, I don't want to go past 4 years, but we'll say 4 years. I think Spence has the better bodies on his resume. It's that simple for me. He beat Porter. There is nobody Crawford's beaten in the last 4 years that could beat Porter. That's why I had Spence number 1. But on the other hand, you put them up head to head, that's a different story. I mean, we have Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua coming up. Joshua clearly has the better resume, but you put them head to head, Tyson Fury can win that fight. But, you got to reward the guys who are fighting the big fights. And Spence needs to be rewarded. Crawford needs to leave Top Rank and go with Al Haymon. That's a different story, but just for this ranking, I had Spence number 1 because he fought the better opponents.
Well, I was with you with that for the longest time, but watching the last few Crawford fights, especially against Kell Brook, I know Kell Brook's not what Kell Brook was, but he passes the eye test to me when you just watch him. I think Crawford's just a better fighter right now. If you put them both in the ring, I think he beats Spence right now, and it's sad to say. James, tell me why I'm wrong. Because you said my opinions are crap, basically, and obviously I'm wrong here. So tell me why Spence should be number 1 and not Crawford.
Oh, I disagree, man. I'm saying this is an injunction to Rich's little list, all right? This is just to prevent you to make sure that you don't damage anything else, all right? Crawford's number 1 in this. You make a valid point.
you talk about resume. Everybody wants to talk about resume. I made the same point against resume. Yes, Spence has bigger name fighters on his list. We can go back and forth all day about who's ducking who and what's happening with what. One thing I will agree with is you talking about Crawford leaving Top Rank, right? 100% agree on that. 100% agree on that. He's got to get away as far as that goes. But I still have Errol Spence at two because I still believe, in your theory, who's going to beat who. This is what I believe. It is amazing that Errol Spence is still fighting at the degree he is after his horrific accident, which I don't know how he did, whatever. He showed me some good stuff as far as that goes. But I mean, we just got to see it. We got to see it. Let's talk about it. We've been talking about back and forth for a year, man. What is it, season two? Talk about it for a year, back and forth. Let's just see it, get it over with. And then that way we can move on with our lives. Everyone can move on with our lives. Errol Spence, have it number two. You know who is number one. What's up?
Yeah, let's just do the 40-40 and then 20 to the winner split and just get it done with. All right, number one. I was going to let you retort, Filthy Rich, but you'll be able to retort when we just say the number one here. Is Terrence Crawford, obviously, Bud. I had him at one. James had him at one. Richie had him at two. Hey, we finally got Judge to dance up there. You see that? He was dancing. He was doing the old Amir Khan dance. Oh, come on, Rich, dance with me. I hope you're frozen there.
He's not frozen.
I know.
He don't want nothing to do with me right now.
He didn't dance in the Amir Khan. I mean, that bothered me.
Look, he's got an objection. You better go to him now.
All right. Crawford, number two, but he should be, or he's number one, but you have met two. Explain. I think you already did, but more retort.
Yeah, I think he probably beats Ugas, but you know, he hasn't fought Porter, he hasn't fought Pacquiao, he hasn't fought, the list goes on. He hasn't fought Mikey Garcia, he hasn't fought, like, I don't know, Virgil Ortiz and Hooker and James, and he probably never will fight those guys. He'll never fight Boots, never fight Lipinets, he'll never fight any of these guys. So he's kind of like the Bellator fighter who doesn't have to fight anyone on the UFC, and we've crowned him number one, which is fine because he is that good. He's 37-0. You don't get to 37-0 without at least being good. A lot of those fights, I mean, what's he, a 4 or 5 division champ? So he has climbed up the ranking. Granted, like for me, I don't think he was in the tough divisions, and then when he was, he doesn't have any of the big names. Gamboa was his big name. I think he beat Adrian Granados several years ago. Victor Postol, I think, is the one that put him on the map, but he did not knock him out. He should have. He was dancing around in the 12th round. I've never liked that about him. You want to go 12 rounds and like stick your tongue out at people? That does not sit well with me. I get why people like Crawford. He's pound for pound number one on many lists because of the divisions he's climbed. But I even think he probably could beat Spence. Spence is probably going to go to 154 at some point because this Crawford thing ain't going to happen. And I think it's too early for Crawford to move to 154. But it is what it is. I got nothing to add. I just want to see him beat someone. And that shouldn't be a lot to ask.
All right. James, you want to talk about your love affair with Terrence Crawford? Maybe we can put the heart thing up next to you. You guys can blow him a kiss like you did many episodes ago.
Yeah, you can go put your smoochy boochies up there, right? Look, you want to talk about that? Okay, you brought up one fight, right? In his last 11 fights, Paul Stahl was the only fight he hasn't knocked someone out, right? Unanimous decision.
Not true. But go ahead.
I don't know how that's not true. Look now.
Because he punched Amir Khan in the balls. That's why.
He still went down, man.
You can't knock a guy out by hitting him in the ball.
Yeah, you can. I've done it. Go watch my wedding video.
That's anyway, true.
So we'll move on. That is the...
Ask Matt from Lindstrom about that.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, the better resume goes to Spence as far as that goes. But Kell Brook, Amir Khan, I mean, Ndongo at the time, it was still not a... Somebody that was still, so you give me the look, whatever, man. I don't care.
A bunch of cab drivers. You're naming Uber drivers and cab drivers.
You just called Amir Khan a cab driver.
He's just the sexiest man in boxing. We didn't say he's good. We just say he's the sexiest man in boxing.
I think he owns a taxi company, so he's still on the taxi thing. But yeah, he definitely drives a car part time.
Gamble.
Yeah, part time. Lift. Uber.
Look, man, Crawford's number one. His body of work might not show it, but watch him fight. Watch him switch stances. Watch the skills that he has. That's why he's number one for me. All right. It's the fact of what I see when he boxes, not technically his opponents that he's going for. And I still want him to fight a big name fight, but his skills for me, what bring him to number one, would keep him at number one, keep him at top of this list for me personally. I want to see him get challenged. I thought Cal Brook was a good challenge for him, knocked him out in four. You guys want to keep seeing. Let's go back up and fine. Let's get that Spence fight. Let's get a Pacquiao fight. Let's get a Porter fight. Any of those three get there, man, that's going to change somebody's view. One of you guys. I don't know where you're at on the screen right now, but one of you guys' view.
The toughest part with Porter is I don't even know if Porter's boxing anymore. The way he sits at like the PBC and does play-by-play, he works for the new NBC SN show, the Ring USA. The dude is like doing a lot of play-by-play. He's got his own podcast now. I don't even know if his heart's in boxing anymore. So beating Porter today doesn't even mean anything anymore. I think all these guys beat Porter at this point.
Ooh. And on that note, our top 10 was Crawford, Spence, Porter, Pacquiao, Ugas, Thurman, Ortiz, Ennis, James, Garcia, and Hooker. Well, I guess that's top 11. I got two questions for you guys. Final questions about our list before we move on here, because we are over time here. First question: how do you like the top five? How do you like the top five? Did it turn out all right for you guys? You guys agree with it? Disagree with it?
Yeah, I agree with the top five.
Yeah, the top five. One and two should be one and two, or should be where it is, and three, four,
almost
five.
One A, basically. Is what
we're talking about. Mix it all up. Yeah.
All right. My second question is on this list. This is something I wanted to ask you guys for a while, actually. Put your hand down or I'll break it. When we do this list next year, who's going to be higher up, Ortiz or Ennis? Isn't that a good question?
I was going to say, if I had Danny Garcia on this list, I'd probably have him at six. If Danny Garcia decides to fight at 147 again and he doesn't go to 154, I'd have Danny Garcia at six.
I'm not talking about the 100 Garcia.
I know you're not, but that's what I'm talking about. And Adrian Broner would probably be somewhere at 10-ish if he can find a weight. If he can find a weight, I don't know if he's at 140, 147, but if he could just make weight, man.
Depends if Chipotle was open or not. But answer my question here. James, that's a good question towards you here because you love both Ortiz and Ennis. Who's higher up than that?
We're talking right now off the hip to make this show not for long forever, man.
Oh, we're coming back to this next year.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, we're talking about right now, man. We're already over time.
Right.
Ennis is going to be higher on this list than Virgil Ortiz.
You agree, Rich?
That's my verdict.
I would say it's only going to be Ennis because he, as long as he's with the PBC, he's going to get bigger name fights. Virgil Ortiz.
He have a chance to lose those fights, though, too.
Yeah, he does, but there's nothing wrong with losing a big name fight. But if Virgil Ortiz wins the next 10 fights and they're a bunch of nobodies, what's the point? That sounds like Crawford to me. Got him. I'll jump to that.
No, that is baloney.
For you, Rich. I threw one on mute for you. All right. He's off of mute. All right. Filthy Rich, why don't you bring us home?
Just want to give a shout out to Roy Williams, the coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels, called it a career. I think it's 30 years, retiring at 70 years old. Anytime I've done these pools, I will never bet against UNC. I will continue to bet for UNC year after year after year. And if you go, final thing, if you go to our YouTube page and look up episode one, it is official. It says 1 year ago as of a few days ago. So we've hit the 1 year mark, boys. I'll drink to that.
I would have bought you a cake if I had known. Well, I'm going to buy you some Tecate after the it doesn't look like UNC is going to help your bracket against us very well.
I don't care.
James, if you're watching us, where can they hear us? If they're hearing us, where can they watch us?
Easy for him to say.
Yeah, good talk.
If you are listening to us, you can watch us on YouTube.com/BruisingBoxing. If you're watching us, you can listen to us on any major podcast site like Spotify or iHeartRadio. Check us out.
All right. Well, I hope this episode really made it, and we don't have to refilm it because of all the freezing on my side. But if it made it, thank you for sticking around with us. I know it's a long one. Before we go, real fast, big fight this week, Frampton versus Herring. Who you got? Judge.
Frampton.
Frampton. Filthy Rich.
Frampton.
I'll go against you guys and say Herring. Why not? All right.
Don't bet that.
What's that? What? You said Herring? Yeah.
No, I said don't bet that. Let's go. We're out.
Bet it. Take it to the bank. All right, boys. It's glad to be back. Thank you very much for covering for me last week. I really appreciate it. It's good to be back in the host chair. I love doing this show with you guys. I hope that James is staying there frozen, acting like he's frozen. For Judge Jimmy James and Filthy Rich, I am Raider Live. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you guys next week.